and through the help of amateur radio volunteers, the crew on the ISS, and Verizon Conferencing, we hope to soon establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 200 miles above the Earth over Australia. This is all accomplished with ARIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. And the ISS currently is flying over the Western Pacific Ocean, and it's whizzing along at around 17,500 miles an hour. This contact will be performed using the Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. ARIS is a consortium of volunteers from nine nations that develop and operate the amateur radio station on board the International Space Station. And some members of ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT Radio Amateur Satellite Corporations, and NASA. And the amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the ISS today is VK4KHZ in Queensland, Australia. And that's operated by our good friend Shane Lind. And thanks for helping us out today, Shane.
No problem at all, Will. It's a real pleasure.
Lovely. Thanks, sir. The contact today is possible because of a worldwide communications network provided courtesy of Verizon Conferencing. And I'd like to thank our operator, Mary, for helping out today. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
And we're just about 4 minutes until contact time. Now, our school for today is the Scuola Europea Verisi. And now let's check in with the students. And we've asked teacher Alessandro Minuti to please tell us about the students that are taking part today.
Yeah. So we have been studying the ISS for the last 3 months, and the environment in which the astronauts are living, and the pupils get very excited about the different aspects of everyday life, and about the questions that living in the space, the outer space, poses to the humanity, to the human being. And lots of work has been done by them in different disciplines, such as math or science. We call it the cuve du monde, and it's a group of disciplines which have been followed, and courses that have been followed by the students during these years. And, yeah?
Well, very good, Alessandro. And thank you for inviting us into your school today for this contact. Now, Shane, before the contact begins, could you please briefly tell us about your station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation, please?
Yeah, sure, Will. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm located in Glendon, North Queensland, Australia, which is just inland from the city of Mackay. Fairly small community where we live. It sort of borders on the outback, and it is semi-remote. The equipment I'm using here today in the primary station is a Yaesu FT847, driving an Andrews amplifier, a PA350, into four six-element Yagi antennas, which are set up in circular polarization configuration. Okay, well, that's about it, mate.
Well, very good. Thank you, Shane. We're showing just about 2 minutes until we expect to hear from astronaut Sunita Williams on board the space station. So, Shane, you will probably start calling the space station about 30 seconds before it rises over your horizon?
Yeah, that's correct, Will.
Okay, very good. And once you establish a solid signal with Sunny on board the space station, you'll say something like, over to you, Italy, or...
That's correct, Will, yeah.
Okay, very good. And Alessandro, at that point, you'll ask Imogen to start in with her question and remember to say the word over at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And we'll continue that through, hopefully, all 20 questions. In the past, Sunny has been very, very good about pacing herself, so... making her answers just the appropriate length to try and fit all the questions into the contact.
All right.
So hopefully we'll look forward to a good contact today. Now I want to remind everyone that what we're doing on board the ISS is an experiment, so we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And I'll remember, and I'll remind the students to remember to say the word over at the end of their question, please. And we have just about 40 seconds before the station should be coming over Australia. So Shane, I'll hand it over to you, and I wish everyone the best of luck for the contact.
Yeah, thank you, Will.
Bye.
And good luck, Barisi. Okay, I'm going to start calling now, and hopefully we can establish contact with Sunny nice and early. Okay, everyone, please stand by. November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra, NA1 SS, this is Victor Kilo 4, Kilo Hotel Zulu, VK4KHZ calling for a scheduled contact. Can you receive, over? Calling November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra, NA1 SS, this is Victor Kilo 4, Kilo Hotel Zulu, VK4KHZ calling for a scheduled contact.
Kilo Hotel Zulu, this is November Alpha 1 SS. I've got you loud and clear. Ready for the school contact?
Okay, good morning to you, Sunny. I also receive you loud and clear. Nice to talk with you again. Okay, Barisi, please go ahead with your first question. Over. Please go ahead.
Hello, Sunisha. Hello?
Please go ahead with your first question.
First question.
Here is Imogen. What is your location at this moment in time with respect to the Earth? Over.
Hi, Imogen. We are just over the north coast of Australia as we're talking to you through a television, through operator, TAM operators in Australia. Can you hear your voice? Over.
Here's Tomago. At what speed does the ISS travel? Over.
Different modules or different parts. In particular, when we do spacewalks, we need to move the air around, and then we actually breathe a slightly higher concentration of oxygen. Over.
Here is Alexander. What are the minimum and maximum temperatures inside and outside the ISS? Over.
Hi, Alexander. That's a great question. We are able to regulate our temperature here inside the space station to however hot or cold we want it. We usually keep it about 24 degrees Celsius, about 75 degrees Fahrenheit. But outside, when we go out and do spacewalks, the temperature can vary from anywhere from about minus 200 Fahrenheit or Celsius up to plus 200. And so it can get very hot or cold outside. When I was doing my spacewalks, I could definitely tell when the sun went down and when the sun came up. I got a lot warmer. Over.
Here is Leopold. Is the energy produced by the solar panels sufficient to maintain the energy requirements on the ISS? Over.
Hi, Leopold. As a matter of fact, it is. We have right now two big solar arrays, and we're going to add two more, so we have plenty of power with the big solar rays. When it's nighttime, we don't have solar power, but those solar rays charge up some big batteries, and then at night, we use power from the batteries. Over.
Here is Mark. What is a spacesuit made of? Is it light and comfortable? Over.
Hi, Mark. Well, as a matter of fact, they're not light, and they're sometimes not so comfortable. They weigh probably about 300 to 500 pounds, and sometimes with all the equipment we have up on them, they can get to be about 800 pounds. Now, weight isn't an issue, but they are big and bulky, and when they're pressurized, it's a little bit hard to move because it's like you are working inside of a balloon. So say you're trying to manipulate something or you do something with your hand, it's hard because of this big balloon structure around you. The parts of it are made of a very advanced plastic around the chest area. It's called a hard upper torso. And then the rest of it, there are bearings, metal bearings, and then the outside is a cloth material, which is protective for temperature and also micrometeorites. Over.
Here is Becca. How much water is stored on the ISS? How long will it last? Over.
Hi, Rebecca. Well, that's a great question. We have water that's brought to us by the shuttle because the shuttle, instead of solar arrays, uses hydrogen and oxygen to combine, and that produces water, and that gives off an electron for their energy. So we get water from the shuttle. We also get water from the air. The condensation that we produce is able to be translated into water that we can drink and use. However, water is a limiting factor because we don't make water. We need to use water and then create water when we sweat. So we need to get water pretty often from the supply vehicles, the Progress and the shuttle. And we're having one come up in May because we're getting a little bit low. Over.
Here is Marie. Do you have sounding board? Over.
Well, Marie, unfortunately we don't, but, you know, surprisingly enough, we don't get that smelly, but every day we do work out, and we get sweaty, and then we have water in containers, which we put onto a towel and then do a sponge bath with the towel. And surprisingly, everybody stays pretty darn clean, because there's really no dirt up here. Over.
Here's water. Are you tasty? Are there any in your diet? Over.
Hi, Hannah. Well, they were tasty for the first couple months, but now it's getting a little bit old because the menu sort of repeats. It's about a 10-day cycle, and then you start eating the same things over and over again. So I've tried to be creative and mix new things with each other. For example, I put some peanuts into a vegetable sauce we had to make it more like a pie type of vegetable. So you have to be creative. And then, unfortunately, we don't have any raw vegetables. However, when the Progress of the Soyuz comes, they usually bring some fruit. We had some oranges and some apples for a while. Over.
Here is Sebastian. Could you cook mixed vegetables in a specially designed area on board the ISS? Over.
And actually, we're working on that. We were growing soybeans in a thing called a lab where we were able to bring the gravitation and the gravity in there with a centrifuge. And the soybeans were growing like crazy. So I think we can, that was a small scale. So I think if we made it a little bit bigger area, we could probably grow some vegetables. And I think that's the plan for the future. Over.
Hi, Sonny. This is Lorenzo. The experiment on board inside the bacteria over.
Hi, Lorenzo. Please tell your brothers and your mom and your dad I said hi. It's good to hear your voice. But thank God we don't do too much with algae and bacteria. We try to keep it very clean up here. And so every weekend we clean with antibacterial towels. And then we take swabs. We have about four or five different ways to take a sample to make sure we're not growing much bacteria and algae. Over.
2 minutes later.
Priscilla, is there a place for the organic waste to store over?
Yes, Priscilla. As a matter of fact, it is. We have a Progress vehicle which comes up with fresh fruits and vegetables and experiments and clothes. And then that gets used as a dump truck. And so we put all of our stuff that we want to throw away in there. It's contained in a container, and then we put the containers into the Progress. Over.
Here is Eliza. Are astronauts also medical doctors? Have you been trained to deal with medical emergencies? Over.
Hi, Eliza. Well, we're not all doctors. Some of us are, but we are trained. We do a course, and so we'll know what to do in case somebody has some type of traumatic injury. However, we do have doctors on the ground that can walk us and talk us through any types of issues we have. And if worse comes to worse, we can jump in the Soyuz and be home in about 4 hours. Over.
Here is Maria. Does microgravity affect your blood vessel system? Over.
Maria, that's a great question, and I have to say I don't know really the answer to that. I know, though, that your heart doesn't have to work so hard because it doesn't have to overcome gravity to get blood, pump blood from your lower extremities back up. And so we do need to exercise our heart doing cardiovascular activities. Over.
Here is Silvio. Are all the members of the team required to go on spacewalks, or are some of them required to stay on board at all times? Over.
Hi, Sylvia. Well, we usually do spacewalks with two people, and there are three people on the space station, so the third guy stays in. I have both been outside and had one other person stay inside, and then I've been inside all by myself when two other guys went outside. I think it was more comfortable being outside with a friend than inside all by yourself. Over.
Here is Miguel. At the speed the Earth has traveled, is it possible to detect objects such as meteors crossing its orbit? Is there a radar station on board? Over.
Yeah, we rely on the ground to help us with that. We don't have equipment on board to detect that. It may happen. We're in a low enough orbit that big meteors are probably not going to be a problem. It's more space junk or little small micrometeorites. And if that's the case, we can actually change the attitude of the station to avoid hitting those things. Over.
Time for everyone to say goodbye. Group goodbye, please.
Thanks a lot. Guys, let's meet Sunita Williams. Thanks a lot, Sunita.
Shared a moment of history. Amateur radio station VK4KHZ in Australia, operated by Shane Lind, contacted flight engineer Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, aboard the International Space Station, talking with students at the Scuola Europea Varese. Verizon Conferencing donated the telecommunications facilities so that we could share this occasion. Thanks, Mary, for your help. Peter Kofler, IN3GHZ, was the ARIS mentor responsible for helping the school prepare, and we thank him very much. And now for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the radio amateur satellite corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, and NASA, this is Will Marchant, amateur radio operator KC6ROL, sending my greetings to all of you in amateur radio terms 73, which is best wishes. So congratulations, Alessandro. You and your students did an excellent job.
Thank you very much.
And I'm sorry, Felix, Francesca, Giovanni, and Alberto, the questions didn't get answered.
Okay, no problem.
Very good, and thanks, Alessandro, and I hope you have an excellent rest of the day.
Yeah, thanks a lot. To you too.
Okay.
Hey guys, let's greet our operator.
Shane Lind, VK4KHZ and KZ in Queensland, Australia. So thanks again, Shane, for doing another excellent job.
No problem at all, Will, and congratulations, Sandra. Very good job on your part.
Okay.
Okay.
Grazie, ragazzi. Allora, abbiamo visto adesso un momento di riflessione, perché chiaramente l'ascolto non è stato facilitato dalla nostra competenza linguistica. Allora, vediamo insieme chi ha capito cosa. Così proviamo, Sì,
sì, una volta con due che hanno i genitori con la liberatoria.
Thanks, Doug, for handling IRLP today for Wayne, and thanks, Dieter, for handling EchoLink today, and welcome to everybody who is on the Internet. Shane, another excellent job. Thanks, sir.
No problem, Will. Thank you.
And Tim, any issues from your end, sir?
No, sounded good.
Okay. I think we just didn't get the last four students through, but I thought Sunny gave some really interesting answers there, so hopefully that was okay.
Yeah, that's good on this end.
And then, Mary, how many listen-onlys were there?
Oh, we didn't hear that. Just Doug and Dieter.
Okay. Oh. All right. That sounds lovely. All right. Anybody else? I forgot to ask how things went. Okay. I think we're done for today then.
Ready.